You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning on this Wednesday, May 28th, and we're going to turn our attention, John, to race and adoption. Both can be controversial issues. You put them together. Well, there's been lots of debate over the decades, I would say, heated debate about how the two, what the relationship should be between the two. Since 1996, the law says race should not be part of the consideration of placing children. That was an effort to encourage white families to adopt children of color. But a new report takes issue with this colorblind policy. The Evan B. Donaldson Adoption Institute, a nonprofit that studies and provides education on adoption, has concluded that minority children adopted into white households face special challenges, and they argue that race should be a factor in adoption placement, including preparing white families for what they may face. It's also an effort to, they say, efforts to increase the recruitment of African-American families has really been lacking. So we thought we would turn to some people with experience in transracial adoption. And joining us now is Judith Stigger, Director of International Adoption, Cradle Adoption Agency, and her son, Aaron Stigger. Welcome, both of you. Judith, you and your husband are white, and you adopted your son and daughter, both of whom are biracial, back in the 70s. And this was long before colorblind adoption was mandated. Do you think you were prepared for raising children of color?
I don't think the topic was particularly discussed. It was discussed in terms of the absence of prejudice. It wasn't discussed in terms of the kinds of resources you might want to help to equip your child to grow up in the world.
And how did your family and friends react when you and your husband made this decision? And what issues did you think you would face with your family, with your children? And what have you faced?
Well, that's a very complicated question. The families and friends were supportive, with the exception of one grandmother who found this a little bit embarrassing because of the area she lives in. But basically everyone else was excited for us that we finally had kids, and not particularly concerned about the issue of race one way or the other. I knew we would face the bigger global issues. I knew there were communities we would now not live in because our children would be oddities in those communities. I knew it would affect where we would send them to school and that sort of thing. I expected some comments of prejudice from strangers occasionally. And what I didn't get was a little day-to-day stuff. That, you know, something would happen if you're not sure it's prejudice or if it's just that person was having a bad day. And I didn't get the question of the omission of images. Not that we weren't prejudiced, but that we were now a multiracial family and that was a new identity with all kinds of possibilities and challenges tied to it.
And, Aaron, you talk about growing up, how you had various feelings and thoughts about race. Do you want to share a couple of those stories with us, for example, when you were in sixth grade?
Well, a lot of the issues that I had with race was just explaining the fact that if I had a new friend who would come over and they'd see my mom, who's white, they'd just kind of assume, say, oh, your dad must be black. And my birth father's black, so that's not technically a lie. But once Dad would stroll through the doors, then I kind of had to explain it. Then they said, oh, okay, and then we went and played with our G.I. Joes. But, you know, that was kind of an awkward moment with bringing new friends into the house.
And your G.I. Joes were white, right?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah, so you were twisted from every end there.
There was one. He was a Roadrunner. That was a brother. But the rest of them were pretty non-diversified.
And you also talk about how, and this is really interesting because, Judith, then I'm going to bring you into this, but Aaron, you talked about how you could remember times walking around with your family in certain places and feeling people staring at you. And so it made you uncomfortable. And, Judith, you say you didn't necessarily notice it as much as Aaron did. Aaron, let's start with what your recollection is.
Yeah, I can't even confirm that I noticed it, but I definitely felt it. It could have just been an internalized feeling. There was a time in junior high when I was with one of my friends who was black and his mom who was black. And I felt a sense of comfort as if I wasn't the sore thumb in the mall. I mean, it's not cool to be in the mall with your mom anyway, but you know,
yeah.
Thank
Boy, that's
you.
True.
You got to be there. She might as well true. Look like you. But in the same sense, is when I'm out with my mom as a kid, and she's white. Well, there's still a good chance that my father's at home and he's black.
We should tell people you grew up in suburban Chicago. You're in Oak Park, Illinois, right now, right, Judy?
Yeah, we've always lived in Oak Park, which is a diversified community, and we had chosen to live here as a matter of who we are before we adopted.
But you've got other communities very nearby, quickly, like Cicero, et cetera, that have very different kinds of views, and I suspect that's what you're talking about in the varying communities that you were accustomed to.
Yeah, the communities are, Chicago is very much a community of neighborhoods, and
right.
some neighborhoods were whiter or blacker or more Hispanic than others.
And Aaron, do you think, in taking a look at what this study is saying, do you think it would have been helpful or should be helpful for white families adopting children of color to have some kind of preparation, to have that discussed before they adopt?
I think it should be talked about, but not into the extreme of where you're taking kind of a two-year master's program. It's something that you have to be aware of, and a few pointers that they can give you. But I don't think it's that elaborate, not enough to discourage anybody from doing it.
Judy Stigger, Director of International Adoption, Cradle Adoption Agency, and Aaron Stigger, her son, an actor from Los Angeles.
Thanks for joining us,
both of you.
Our pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.